Here's what millionaires do. Every single person who has made it ends up in real estate. It may not be where they started, but they end up buying real estate. So why not start where people end and become a solution provider for them?
Welcome to the Thought Hustle Podcast, show number 178. Today, we bring you an incredible motivator, entrepreneur, and real estate investor. The biggest takeaway from this is just because he talks a little bit about how he built a business that was generating $30,000 a month, why he shut it down, and what he focuses efforts on. It just seems like, you know, he's got that Midas touch where anything he touches turns to gold. But a huge part of that is just He has a mindset that if I'm doing it for the wrong reasons, then I'm not going to do it. And with that, he's been able to build incredible success. He's been able to build a portfolio of over 200 units. This is just chock full of information for anyone who thinks that they can't do something or they feel like they shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't. And Kes, he talks about that and more. And if you enjoyed the interview, please leave a review. If you have any takeaways, the only thing I ask is leave a review. Tell someone you know about the show. Thank you for listening.
So in Georgia, we used to live in New York, and my wife's mom, she had leukemia, and that got us to, you know, we've been going back and forth for a while, like taking care of her, being caretakers, and that got us to saying, I said one day, babe, you know what? Let's go to Georgia, go take care of your mom. Because I started to realize that we were having disagreements about little things, right? Because when we come to Georgia, take care of her mom, everything is okay. When we go back to New York, we just kind of started bickering. And I'm like, you know what? It's because we're concerned about her when we're not there. And so then we moved to Georgia to take care of my wife's mom. Now, 3 months after that, she passes. And after that, you know, we were just here. And, you know, when we moved, it started out like we'll just move to go rent. And then I never rented. So I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. Let's just buy a house. Even if we don't decide to live there, we could rent it out. So we bought a house, and all of this happened in like 1 month.
And this is in Tennessee?
No, this is Georgia.
This is in Georgia. Okay. Georgia.
Yeah. So we bought a house, moved, I quit my job, and started taking care of her mom. And also really dove into real estate at the same time. Everything was kind of just happening all at the same time.
It is hectic, man.
And it's prime time COVID, right? Because we're right in the middle of COVID.
Of course it is, right?
And so, because this was 2020, man. So it was like, so that's what got us to Georgia. And of course, there's a whole lot more to that story. But then to Tennessee, I had this goal where I'm like, I'm going to do $100,000 a month in passive income. And in just doing a market analysis and I would say understanding the laws of the universe, it took us to, once I did a market analysis, it took us to Tennessee as to where we wanted to buy like Airbnbs. I kind of came up with a strategy and, you know, picked the Smoky Mountains as to where we would do what we would do.
All right.
And so I had a whole plan in terms of we're going to buy smaller multifamily because we buy multifamily properties now. And but we're going to buy smaller multifamily properties like 20 units, 50 units, somewhere around there and convert them into Airbnbs. Right. So instead of having long term tenants, we would have short-term tenants. And so the NOI is going to go through the roof. And so we'd be able to get at least over $1 million evaluation just like that, right? And so I believe in being in a market and becoming a staple name and shaking hands and all of that. So I was like, babe, let's move to Tennessee. And you know, man, after it's been some time of I mean, we've been married for going on 5 years in August, but she trusts me. She trusts the God in me. Let me put it that way. She knows and understands that I'm a God-fearing man. And so so she's like, all right, let's do it.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm a God-fearing man as well, so it's exciting for me to hear that.
Listen, man, I believe that when you turn your pain into purpose and you allow people to see that side of you, the things that people don't typically share, the things that actually hurt, that got you to where you are, I believe that's what needs to be shared more than the deals that you do. And I typically do not talk about the deals that I do. If you go on my social media, you will see 3% real estate.
I've seen that, yeah.
You won't see a whole lot of real estate. You would see more mindset stuff because it's really 95% up here. And the skills and all of that, dude, it's what comes from the mind. And so I'm all about, I wish I cared about real estate more than more. I love what it has done for me. I love what it could do for you. But like my business coach always says, it's the thing that got me to my thing, right? It's and to some weird reason, I always knew that. Before we started real estate, I told my wife, I said, listen, here's what millionaires do. Every single person who has made it ends up in real estate. It may not be where they started, but they end up buying real estate. So why not start where people end and become a solution provider for them?
I like that. You're a forward thinker, aren't you? And I I'm really excited for this because I can just tell based on that one story you were telling me about your wife's mom that you just have this really high EQ, because I'm thinking about it. And with my wife, I don't think if we were bickering, I would have put that together that the reason you were fighting is because you were concerned over her mom together. And you realized that. So I know this is going to be an incredible interview. So I just want to start out before we really get into it, just by thanking you for taking the time to join us.
Absolutely, man. Sharing the story that has given us success, and not only through story, but to really share the behind the curtains is part of my purpose. And I know by being here, I hope that some one person, man, if one person, or even if you, if nobody else seen this and you were able to get something from what we're talking about, man, mission completed for me. That's all I care about is just sharing in a way that people could take it and go multiply it, right? Get something from it and be like, man, I just needed to hear that. Or, you know, that's what else is more to life than sharing and being able to give in that way, man.
Yeah, I gotta say, I love that, because that's something I've always struggled with. It's just being real and raw. And like you said, bringing like the pain is where people are going to relate. And that's where the information is. And I mean, you're good at like sharing the difficulties and the pains, and people can relate to that. That's something I'm terrible at. I'm working at it. I'm slowly getting better. But I always appreciate when I bring someone on who's willing to share their faults, their difficulties, and their challenges, because someone else is facing that, like you said. And if you can just impact one life, I mean, that's an absolutely incredible gift that you get. So I love that. And we already got into a little bit the path that got you started in real estate. There was something I was reading up on you, and I saw one of your posts about remarrying your wife each year. Now, I mean, that's in quotations, obviously. You're not renewing your vows every year in front of a preacher. But where did that idea come up? And before we get into that, would you just explain what you mean by remarrying your wife each year?
Yeah, man. So when I say remarrying my wife each year, We every year we literally put on the same clothes that we got married in. We go to a different state, a different country, and we basically get dressed up just like the first day and look each other in the eyes and take pictures and just recommit. And being able to do that allows me to fall in love with her the same way and to just keep that fire going. And I wish I could tell you exactly where I got the idea from, man. It has to be, I don't know if I'm original enough to come
It
up with
was just your stroke
that
of genius, Kes. Take it
on
and run with
my own.
it.
Yeah, I can't say that that's what it is, but I also can't tell you where I got it from. It was just this idea that I had. And and she was like, "That's cool. We could totally do that when we get married." And so, man, we took it and ran with it. And so far we've been to the first place we've been to was Morocco. Then COVID happened, so we did Atlanta because we was here with her mom.
Yeah.
And we did Atlanta again because it was still on lockdown. Then we went to Costa Rica and then Italy. And so we kind of is just our goal is to go somewhere and we thought it out because we got married on Labor Day weekend. So that at that point in time when we thought about this, we were 9 to 5ers. So we were like, oh man, we'd have an extended weekend. So it would be less days to take off from when we travel. And I mean, now we're entrepreneurs, so it really doesn't matter. But we've thought this out, man. And so the crazy thing about this and is that we're on our journey. Typically, people would be like, oh my God, I can't fit into my clothes. We're like on this health journey and all of that. And so now our clothes are getting bigger. You know, it's like, oh crap, you know, because
Gonna have to get
now
them
we're like,
retailored.
dude, so it's been fun, man. It's been so much fun. And we hire a professional photographer wherever we go and just go to wherever people that does weddings would go and just have a blast with it.
That's absolutely incredible. Yeah, I love that idea. So I really wanted to discuss with you kind of the origins of that. But I mean, how long have you been in real estate for?
So we started our real estate journey in 2020,
So you're
January.
pretty new to it, so that's really exciting to me. Had you always had an interest in real estate?
I did. I must say I did, and then the dream kind of died. And so I kind of just let it go.
What was it that killed the dream initially?
The dream was attached to somebody else that I was dating before, right? And
That's a
so
dream killer.
yeah, you know, and I had to let that go simply because it was just yeah, it was just attached to that person and kill that dream, let it go, kind of forgot about it. And then I started my DJ career. I was a DJ. I played music around the world for about 5 years or so. Played music in Spain. That was the biggest crowd that I played for, over 50,000 people.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's DJ, like we played and we've won. So I used to do like DJ battles, right? And so we've won competitions like even in Switzerland, in it England, like just all over the
How
world.
do you judge a DJ battle?
The crowd
The
does.
crowd? All right, all right.
Yeah. So picture 8 Mile and
That's what was in my head already. You're reading
exactly.
my mind.
Picture 8 Mile and you play music, the crowd, you hype the crowd up for however long, and then the other group comes and they try to hype the crowd up for however long, and the MCs are saying things back and forth to each other, and it's just like a full energy type of thing. And your job is to get people to move and get people to react based on the songs that you play and all that type of stuff. So that was fun. And so once that the dream of real estate kind of died, and music was kind of always there, but more in the background. Yeah. Then, you know, we started getting the public kind of notary, and then that really grew and blew up, and we became, I call it hood famous, kind of thing. And so we was able to see a lot of the world really, through music. And then, in 2020, it came back around and figured that it would be, that's when I married my wife. And through that time, I started an Amazon business and was doing pretty well on that. You know, I was doing like $30,000 a month on the Amazon business. My wife and I started a t-shirt company. So we really tried to do a lot of different things. And now that I look back at it, it's really us. We were figuring out how to work with each other. Somebody may ask, like, man, if you were doing $30,000 a month, why the heck would you shut that down? And the reason why I stopped it was because, and this goes out very deep. This could be one podcast, right? Just talking about why I shut down the Amazon business. Yeah. But ultimately, it was a God thing. And I knew that I needed to serve my wife more than the money. And because we had just gotten married, if I were to take things that I did before where I put money before the person that I was dating and stuff like that, matter of fact, this is my second marriage. And one of the things that I believe drove my first marriage to failing was because I did put money first. I did put hustling and creating and making money first. And so when that didn't work out, I'm like, here it goes again, where I'm like, hold on, this looks really familiar, right? Where I have this thing, and then here comes this person into my life. Who do I choose? Mm-hmm. Right? And so I'm like, oh, I'm not going to make the same mistake. I'm shutting it down. And she was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, no, I'm like, I am. I believe that we, because she did not, she came into it. And I, at that time, was not a great leader at all. And it was kind of like, you got to do this. You got to do this. I was giving her commands, and that made her hate the business. And I hate is a strong word, but you see what I mean, by giving her commands and things to do and all that. And so she came into this entrepreneurship life that I didn't even know really, because I still had my 9-to-5 while I was doing this. This was like my first real business attempt, and it was going decent, but being able to talk to her and all of that, I sucked at it. I was bad. And so I heard God tell me, shut it down. And when I told some of my friends, they're like, dude, you're stupid. You just met this girl. Like, you're shutting down.
Well, I wanted to ask, was it difficult for you to come to that decision? I mean, you're making six figures, well over six figures. I mean, you're absolutely crushing it. Like, I understand the mindset behind it, and it's obviously worked out well for you. But like, what's going through your mind there when you're facing that challenge? I mean, money or my wife? Because I think a lot of times people come across a question like this when they start to find some mode of success, and they forget what's truly valuable and important, which you recognized it was your wife. But like, was that a difficult choice for you?
It was, but it wasn't. And I'll tell you, I'll explain that. It was because it's money. I'm like, this man
like money.
Exactly. Right. Like, what? Like, we're crushing it. What do you mean? And this was after starting it after like 4 months. So this happened fast. Right. Wow. And so we're doing this. But then on the other side, a few months or maybe years before that, I had committed to being this God-fearing man and wanting to do things God's way and really apply the laws, the rules, the commandments of scripture. I wanted to be a scripture-based man.
Yeah.
And when so that made it easy for me because I'm like, well, this is what the word says. This is what I have to do. And I didn't want to have my opinion in there because I've lived my life going by my opinion and wanting to twist what I wanted to do or not do. And I said, nope, I'm going to do it his way. I'm going to risk everything and put my all into my marriage first. Said, if it does not, if it's bringing conflict in my marriage, then I'm not doing it. And I still live by that. Like literally, if something was bring conflict in my marriage, I'm dropping it first before getting into high arguments with my wife. It's not worth it to me. No money is.
That's a difficult thing, doing what God wants and not what you want. That's incredibly difficult. So, I mean, you shut the whole business down. Were you afraid? Where were you at that point?
I mean, every day was a scare. Every day was a scare. And plus, at the same time, I still had my six-figure cybersecurity job, right?
Doing both of those.
I was hustling like a maniac. I was hustling like a maniac, dude. So we still had some level of security. So it wasn't about money really at that point. We were trying to get freedom. I was trying to get freedom. This was a journey that she came into. And that was me being single and having this individual dream. Now that two is becoming one, I had to revise those dreams because... Yeah. That was my dream. Although she's coming under my leadership, it's still this merger that needed to happen. And that's
it. Were you able to align your dream, maybe her dream, with your dream? How were you able to do that and kind of get her on board? Because it sounds like Amazon, that wasn't it. I mean, it just wasn't working out, wasn't helping the relationship. And maybe you're getting to this, but how did you make it so that you started to align your dreams to be focused on the same thing?
We created a vision for our marriage. And so in creating, coming together, and we did a crap ton of premarital counseling and all that type of stuff. And even when we got married, we did a lot of counseling. We needed it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be together today, right? And so we got married after 6 months. So it's not like I knew her for a very long time. And on top of that, I met her on Match.com. So this is an absolute stranger.
You like to move, man. You like to move.
This is an absolute stranger that I'm giving up my life for and everything for. But I rather follow what I believe God was telling me than to follow my own way and even fail. Mm-hmm. Because you never know until you try. And so even when I was trying to fine-tune my intuition in like, is this your voice or is this mine? How would I know unless I tried it, right? I got to try to be like, this was totally me. And then like I try something else and I was like, this was you. This was totally me. This was you. This was you. This was you.
You have any examples of that? Like I believe in God as well. And I think it can be difficult sometimes to really figure that out. And I think it's difficult because we're selfish. We want our own thing. I mean, realistically, we don't want to listen to what we know, what we should do, what God says. So do you have an example where you said, you know what, I don't know what this is, I'm going to try it. And then you realized, oh, this is a me thing. This isn't what I should be doing.
Yeah. So A major, major, major thing, bro, is so I told you that I cut real estate off before because of a relationship. Now, here's the thing about that relationship, right? There was a time when we had broke up and got back together, and God had told me to tell her about all of the things that I did when we weren't together. And when I told like my best friend and all those people like what I believe God was telling me, they were like, "Dude, you're crazy. That y'all will not last. You worked so hard to get her back. Don't do it." But I'm like, "But I really think God is telling me to do it. I know that it's a risk." And not only that, I had proposed to this person, right? So there was a lot on the line. So then this guy that I followed on Instagram was coming to New York. We were living in New York at the time. And he said, "Go listen to this dude on Sunday." I'm like, "Ah, all right, I'm gonna go listen." So that Sunday, I had my son, and man, he started getting sick, and all the things started to come up for me not to go. And I'm like, "I gotta go." So I found my parents, they took care of him, and I went. And there were so many things because he was an hour away, and like so many things that made me not want to go, but I made it. And when I made it, clear as day, as if God was in front of me talking to me, this dude was talking about coming clean, and the name of the topic that he spoke on that day was taking your bubble coat off. I remember it clear as day. And the analogy of taking your bubble coat off is because and he gave a whole story about like him being fat, and he would go to school and keep his bubble coat on, and because he didn't want people to laugh at him. And then one day he took his bubble coat off, and everybody was able to see that he was fat, but he felt so relieved when he did it. And so the moral of the story was to come clean and to take your bubble coat off. And I was like, "Holy crap, I gotta do it." Right? Like, I didn't need any more anything from anyone to tell me if I needed to come clean and say exactly what I thought. And so that was one of the examples that made me like it was that fine tuning of understanding his voice. And I came clean, and she gave me back my ring. And so that coming clean was painful, but it also saved my life. Because after that thing started to come out, after happened, man, it saved my life. I'm telling you, right? One of the best things that ever happened to me. But in that moment, I couldn't see it, but I believe that he could see beyond what I could see. And so I held on to that. And so that's
Yeah,
when
and it worked out.
no, it totally did, bro. And so what I like to share with people who have a difficult time with kind of hearing God's voice is like, you ever used a walkie-talkie? It's like have being on the same frequency, right? So like if you're on the wrong frequency, you wouldn't be able to communicate with me if you're on the wrong frequency, but you continue to turn it until you find it. And so you continue to listen. Listen, listen, you listen, you try, you listen, you try, you listen, you try. And then one day it's going to be like, "I think this is it. I think I could hear him." And as you try it and you're successful and you try it, and then sometimes he just wants to see if you would be obedient, although it may hurt. It hurt and could still be his voice, but he wants to see if he could trust you, right? Like there's several stories in the Bible about people getting orders, and I mean Joseph with his son, is it Joseph who had to go Abraham who had to take his son to sacrifice his son, I mean, that was one of the ultimate tests. And so I'm like, I'm gonna just try it, dude. But I don't ever want to live one day not attempting to hear that voice and not go after what I believe he's telling me to do. So you may think I'm doing crazy stuff, but I'm just like, I think this is God. I don't know, but I'm gonna go for it, you know?
I love that. I love that. So bringing it full circle, you and your wife together, you sat on the vision of real estate for yourselves. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. We sat on that vision. And so 2020, we paid that $30K to be in a mentorship. January 2020 is when we started, end of January. And we started our journey, man. And I just had that burning desire, this feeling like there had to be more to life. And with that, that was also one of the things that got me to, and then when COVID happened, it was just like, this is it, babe, yeah. This is it. It's the same time of with your mom, and everything is kind of happening all at the same time. I'm like, this is our out. Like my coworkers were getting let go. Like they were just dropping like flies, getting fired. And so my job was given a severance package, and they were offering, I was a cybersecurity engineer. So my job like was in demand, right? Because it's like, we got to protect everything. And so my boss, my boss was like, we're good. We're not going anywhere. Right. But I'm like, they're giving 6 months severance package. I could figure this real estate thing out in 6 months, man. Hmm. And so at the same time, I had hired a coach, a high performance coach, a few months before just to get to another level. I wanted to be able to achieve more and do more and get my habits right and all that type of stuff. And so with the confidence that I was building throughout all of these things happening at the same time, July 1st was my last day, 2020. July 1st, 2020 was my last day at work. So we left, we moved to Georgia and went heads down into real estate. Hadn't done a deal before leaving, not one, but from July to December, we were able to do 1.5 times my 6-figure salary in wholesale deals.
Wow.
And like that was like, you know, so that was our start into real estate. And that's when at the end of I can't say at the end, somewhere along the lines, I knew that I didn't love wholesaling. I'll be honest, but that's what the team decided that we were going to do. And we decided that I decided that I wanted to buy rental properties. I'm like, we need rental properties because that's the only thing that resembles what a 9-to-5 job is. What do I mean by that? Every month you get a deposit in the bank from your job. When you have rental properties every month, you get a deposit. So because we're mentally conditioned to get that security coming in every month, I thought that it was the only thing that could replace what we used to get before, or the closest thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, our goal needs to be cash flow. And so I was calling these sellers, but I wasn't able to lock up any creative deals, man. I'm like, what is happening? I keep getting people to the edge, but I couldn't get them to say yes to a seller finance or a subject to or a lease option.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Nobody would say yes. And so that's when I came across Pace Morby. That's when I came across Pace. And I came to the team. I'm like, this guy sounds like he knows what he's doing. We should join his mentorship. They're like, dude, no way. We just spent $30K in January. We just spent another $7K on a lease option class that I took. They're like, no way. But I'm like, guys, I'm telling you. And so they shut me down the first time. And then I kept looking at his YouTube stuff. And then I went back again. I'm like, guys, I'm telling you, like, I know if I'm able to join this dude's mentorship, I'll be able to close creative deals.
Is this your wholesale team you're going back to?
Yeah. And because I seen them more like partners. It was at that time, it was my wife, this my cousin and somebody else that we had on the team, right? So it was four of us, and we made the decision to finally in end of November, early December, I finally got them to say yes.
After a little convincing.
After a little convincing. And so we went into Sub 2. And from January to December, we went from 1 to 21 doors, all creative financing.
Wow.
Using other people's money. No money out of my pocket. Just straight go crazy buying rental properties, man. And in 2022,
what was it that changed?
Sales.
What was it that changed that enabled you to go to the 21 doors? Was there anything in particular that was like the game changer?
I think it's multi-layered. It's multi-layered. The main thing that I learned going into Sub 2 was sales. Before I would say that I was not a salesperson and blah, blah, blah. I had a very big resistance to sales. But once I got into Sub 2 and I started studying Pace, like I was obsessive. Like I listened to his seller calls obsessively every day. When I'm in the bathroom, I'm listening to seller calls, like just crazy listening. And when I broke his seller calls down and I started to understand what he was doing, and then he gave the book, You Can't Teach a Kid How to Ride a Bicycle in a Seminar. And I started studying that book and comparing it to his calls. And I really started to embody sales. Everything just went crazy because it was like, that was the missing piece. But not only that was the missing piece, a lot of the things that I learned from my mentorship before Sub 2 was also a big thing, because I did like some market analysis stuff that got me to know the exact area. And I think some of my cybersecurity stacking information kind of came into place too. And so I think it's just these stack of different skill sets that got me to say, this is exactly where we're going to go. And now that I know sales, and then I learned how to structure deals. And I think it all communitively got me to this place of being able to get deals done and get them done like much better. And that was our 2021 journey.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. And I hear that over and over again from the people that are brought on. And, you know, they always say success leaves clues. It's, you have to learn sales if you're going to get anywhere. And it's just such a valuable skill. So I love that. And you mentioned before that you're now, I don't know if you own any yet. Maybe you do. You're looking at multifamily to turn into Airbnbs, right?
Yeah. Boutique hotels, Airbnbs. Yep. And so, let me give you 2022 real quick before we go to what we're
ahead.
So 2022, I partnered up with some with CS3, and so we started buying multifamily. And so we went and we got the first multifamily we got was 48 units. And we closed on that. And right now we're going after a 138 unit property. That's a $40 million purchase. And so we're going to close on that in a little while. Later on this month, we're going to close on that. And so all in all, just from a personal basis, we're a little over 200 doors coming up at the end of this month. And so that's where we ended in 2022, basically. And now 2023, we did not get start the journey of getting the smaller multifamilies. Although we, like, I moved and all of that, bro, it didn't, we weren't able to lock in anything. We had people on the hook, like right at the edge kind of thing.
I know that feeling, yeah.
But it was one of those weird times where interest rates was acting stupid. Sellers were still not in the accepting it phase.
They still thought their houses were worth what they were 2 years ago when interest rates were at 2%.
Mm-hmm. And so it was just like this phase. And then I believe that some of the bigger projects also kind of took over and my focus. If I were to be brutally honest, my focus started to change, where I also started to focus a lot more on my coaching business. And so I started splitting my time. And so my energy towards that goal and that vision, it just started to fade, man, because my goal and my vision kind of, coaching is my purpose. And I know that real estate is the thing to get me to the thing. And, you know, like, once you get financial freedom, it's like, I'm of the type of, I don't really have to do this anymore. So why not just do the thing that you really love doing? You know, the thing that brings you purpose, that intrinsic value. And without admitting it to my team, I started to internally shift. I've come, it's almost like coming out of the closet, right? I came out of the closet and I said, listen, guys, this is how I really feel, man. And, you know, I apologize for stringing you guys along, but this is how I really feel. And this is what I want to do and who I am and what I want to be. And so I have kind of stopped doing that vision. I just stopped it, you know, and I've taken a lesser role on other teams when it comes to real estate so that I could focus on my coaching company.
That's awesome. So you still own those units though, but really that's just income to fund what you really love doing.
100%.
100%. What's fascinating to me is throughout all of this, I mean, you have a lot of courage. I mean, you're moving around, you're switching jobs, you're willing to drop a Amazon business that's bringing in $30,000 a month, which is, I'm sure, mind-blowing for a lot of the listeners. What do you think it is that gives you that courage? I mean, you're almost fearless, which I love. You're willing to take risks, and it sounds like the risks always have great rewards. Was there someone in your past who instilled that in you? What is it that, you know, helps you to overcome the scary part of taking the leap?
I would definitely say my mom has a huge part to play in that. And just kind of seeing how they have been able to navigate, bro. I mean, they moving to the US and them, my parents, not having jobs. We were, you know, immigrants, so we didn't have papers or whatever. And they were able to send us to college without having student loans and all of these types of things. And just seeing how they have been able to navigate, they've always made me feel like we were rich, because we never needed anything.
Wow.
And so that was super major for me. And just to see and know, like, if my parents could do that, then I could do anything. And so then I started studying the laws of success, and I started reading, like, the different laws of the universe. And that got me to really start understanding what is failure? Like, it's impossible to fail. And so one of the things that I it's all over my Instagram and social media is like, what would you do if it was impossible to fail? Like, what would you do? And when I ask myself that, it would be like, I'll do this, then do it. Because it's impossible to fail. Because you only fail when you stop and you don't try.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe in that. And so I do the 1, 2, 3, go. What would you do if it was impossible to fail? Go do it. And that's literally how I live. Because failure is you just learn. You just learn. When you try, you get the lesson out of it, you assess it, and you're like, man, let me do that again.
Yeah, I love that mindset. That's so hard to wrap your mind around, though, for a lot of people, because it's like it's ingrained in you that if you fail or mess up, it's the end of the world. And like, that's kind of how you grow up. It's like if you do poorly on a test or something, it's terrible, but it doesn't really matter. You just do better the next one. And then you start to apply that to life and switching jobs, and it's all the more terrifying. But I completely agree. I mean, if you couldn't fail, what would you do? And if you go out and do it and you give your all, odds are you're going to succeed, or you're going to have to try again. But that's your worst case. You're going to learn what doesn't work.
Exactly. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, when we were kids and we did a test, we're all still afraid of that red X on our paper. So we got conditioned to saying, oh my God, I don't want a red X. You know, like, oh my, like, I don't want mommy to be mad at me. I don't want my teachers to give me this failing grade. And so we're conditioned to not want that. And when you think about it, entrepreneurship is the absolute opposite, where you get an X, you get kicked out, you get expelled for cheating. Because when you ask for help, you work with somebody else, you're cheating. But in entrepreneurship, partnering up and working together is how you make the dream come true. And so the things that we learn and we're conditioned to do in school is the absolute opposite. And so I had to go through a reconditioning, and still going through a reconditioning of the mind. And that's when you start getting into paradigms. And this is why I go so wholeheartedly into personal development and explaining these things on a granular level for people to understand, because we're controlled by these paradigms that got us scared from not taking action. And paradigms, let me just break that down real quick, because I know it's like one of these terms that's thrown out but doesn't really have value and meaning to people. Paradigms is simply a group of habits that's passed down from one generation to the next. So you have these habits that maybe your parents had, and all of a sudden you're doing something and you don't even know why you're doing it. But sometimes you're like, crap, that's totally my parents, right? Like, I totally did that like my dad, you know? And so it's these habits, you don't have any idea why you're doing it, but you do it anyway, right? And your culture, coming from the Caribbean, I have these cultural beliefs that you couldn't tell me was wrong, because that's what was embedded in me.
Yeah.
And it's my truth. But those are paradigms passed down. And so now you take that, and now you're grown. You have all these beliefs about money. You have all these beliefs about all of these different things that is your truth, that really shaped your self-image. And now all of a sudden, you see yourself as this person, and you're afraid to make a mistake, because you have this image that you have to hold on to. And even that image, even when you try to make a difference in your life, you go back to the old habits, because it's like, that's what's ingrained in you. And so
that's what you know. It's almost comfortable. And I had never even thought about it like that. But yeah, in school, we are conditioned not to work with other people. And then you get in the real world and you kind of bring that with you. You don't want to ask for help. You're going to be seen as weak or not knowing enough. And maybe you'll put your job at risk if you ask for help, but it's completely the opposite. But yeah, I mean, you have all these things ingrained. And as you're talking about it, I'm realizing there's more ingrained in me than I'd like to admit. And I've spent years working on myself to figure out those limiting beliefs and things that are ingrained in me that I take for truth, but they're not necessarily actually truth. And that's absolutely incredible. And that's a great point to start to transition, because I want to end on this, because this is just such a powerful thing that if you've never taken the time to consider that you have things ingrained in your mind from how you grew up and from your childhood, you have to start to ask that question, challenge yourself. So are there any books, like what's your top book recommendation if you have one on this topic, or even anything that we've talked about? Because I've struggled to find books specifically on that topic.
Oh man, I have so many books, dude. And I'll tell you that I'll give you three books, because it's so hard to just give you one.
I know.
These three books has hands down changed my life. And it goes deeper. There's other books that goes deeper. But I think for people who want to start understanding this, one of the books that changed my life is The Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. The Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. That book, like, literally slapped me like pow, pow, pow. And just like, what are you doing? Next level understanding. It really knocked the middle class thinking out of me. So The Secret of a Millionaire Mind. Then it was actually the next book is The Secret. The Secret really got me into understanding the law of attraction and that type of stuff. The third book is The Go-Giver. The Go-Giver is story-based that I really think really helps with storytelling things about The Secret. So they're all kind of connected. But The Go-Giver, man, has given me principles to live by that I apply so much. If you get those five laws of success down and you're able to implement them in your life would change like that, like almost like magic.
I love The Go-Giver. I haven't read the other two books, but yeah, The Go-Giver, absolutely phenomenal book. So I'm glad you shared that. I was actually recommended that by a SVP at one of the mortgage companies I worked at. And I read that and I was like, my mind was just blown. I was like, this is what you need to act on. And I started to act on it. It's like years later, it's paying dividends, just me helping someone out in some small way. And it's just incredible. Yeah. But where can people follow up with you and learn more about you?
Man, the best place is on my Instagram right now. And my Instagram handle is Kes on Purpose, K-E-S on Purpose. Send me a DM, send me a message. I would love to connect with anyone, because getting guidance, especially when it comes to this mindset journey. And, you know, when people hear the word mindset, they're a little turned off from it.
Yeah.
But how I like to explain it is, right now, your mind is set to a particular ideal. It's set to a particular ideas. And so all we're doing is changing what is set to something else. And so that's all it is. It's what your mind is set to. It may be ideals and maybe beliefs that's not serving you, but being able to change the settings to something else is what I could help with. And showing hacks and tricks and new habits to help you have your mind set to a different destination. And so Kes on Purpose, I'd love to connect with anyone who needs help. on their real estate journey or just needing guidance and struggles or getting over paradigms and things that they may have a difficult time with.
I appreciate that, Cass. And that'll, of course, be linked in the show notes along with the book recommendations. This has been absolutely incredible. So I want to thank you for taking the time to join us, Cass.
Absolutely, man. Let's do it again, man. There's so much, and I feel like
we didn't even cover half of what I wanted to, but all right, brother.
All right, man. Thank you so much for having me. Let's do it again.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Thought Hustle podcast. As always, it's truly appreciated to each and every one of you who listen for your continued support and reviews. Reviews are incredibly important and the lifeblood of podcasts. So if you would take 30 seconds right now, to just go and leave a review on whatever platform you listen to the show on, I would really appreciate it. Just 30 seconds and it would mean a lot to me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. This is Daniel Gerner, signing off from the Thought Hustle podcast.